Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
Give you this time.
Amen.
Do speak to us.
Amen.
Through the word.
Amen.
Help us to discern.
Amen.
Between our soul from our spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we do want to know our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning we come to message 3 of the morning session. While you're popping your binders, let's redeem the time and call. Breathe his name. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So in this morning session, we've been covering the exercise of our spirit. And so far, we've covered message 1, which is the importance of our human spirit. So according to Zechariah 12:1, we saw that according to God's economy, man is the center of the universe, and the center of man is his spirit. So God created man with a spirit so that man can contact God, touch God, know God, and contain God. Then yesterday, in message 2, we saw dealing with the inward parts for the exercise of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I got a lot of light to see how we all have the same Spirit. We all have a human Spirit, and the Christ in us is the same. But how the Spirit comes out depends on how we deal with our inward parts. Specifically dealing with our conscience, our mind, emotion, and will. If you want to exercise your spirit, you must take care of your conscience. To let the spirit come out, we must deal with our will, that our will be submissive to our spirit, not to contradict our spirit. And our mind needs to be subdued and sober. And then our emotion needs to be loving for the Lord. Well, this morning, let's read the title for message 3. Discerning the spirit from the soul. To discern is to separate, to know the difference. It's to, according to Webster's, it's to recognize or identify as separate. So this morning we want to recognize the difference between the soul and the spirit. I think we're all clear, objectively, truth-wise, that there is a difference between the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
But I'd like for you to check your experience. Do you know whether your intentions are from the soul or the spirit? Maybe you're considering what major to get into. The major that you want to get into, is that of the spirit or from the soul? Some of you are graduating, or some of you are seniors, and you're considering what to do next. What you want to do, is that from your spirit or from your soul? I think we all have to agree it's not so simple to know our thoughts, our intentions, and our desires are whether from the spirit or from the soul. So we need to learn to discern the spirit from the soul. Okay, first of all, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. I think we're all clear. We do know that there is a difference. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 shows us quite clearly that we are made with a body, soul, and spirit. So just as there's a difference between our body and our soul and our spirit are also different. So now we need to see what is the soul and what is the spirit. Brothers, let's read A together. Amen. So what is the spirit? It's the innermost part. It's the inner organ possessing God consciousness that we may contact God, deal with God, and sense the things of God. It's an inner organ. I was thinking of an example, and organs, they allow us to contact things. For example, our hearing and our seeing and our taste. And there's a sister that lives with our family, and she works with the she works in the speech and hearing department at the University of Washington. She's telling me how for those who absolutely cannot hear, hearing aids won't help. You need, but they have a new technology now called cochlear implants that allow those who are born or have completely lost their hearing to be able to hear again. And I saw this video of this child who just had this operation, a cochlear implant, and they turned it on. It's a video of this child sitting there and turning on the cochlear implant for the first time. And it's quite touching, because when they turned it on, this child heard the mother's voice for the first time. Sorry, I'm just a kind of an emotional person, so I get. So anyways, it was so touching to see this child for the first time. He's never heard before. When he was brought into the world, couldn't hear a thing. And now for the first time, you get to see this child hear the mother's voice say, "I love you." So, sorry. You just consider not being able to hear, and then one day you hear your mother's voice. Sounds become real to you. Music becomes real to you. Without hearing, the whole realm of sound is just not real to you. Our spirit is very similar. It's an organ that allows us to contact God, know God, and for God to speak to us. If you don't know your spirit, the whole divine realm, the whole spiritual realm, God himself, it's like he doesn't exist. You can be a Christian, you can be a believer, but if you don't know your spirit, it's like God doesn't exist. The whole divine things just doesn't exist. Our spirit is an inner organ for us to know God, contact God, and to know the things of God. Amen. Sisters, let's read B. Amen. What is the soul? Well, it consists of the mind, consists of the emotion and the will. It's our very self. This is referring to before our regeneration. Before our regeneration, our soul is our self. It's a medium between our spirit and our body, and it's our self-consciousness, it's our personality, and it's a vessel that contains the spirit. A lot of times, we live by the soul. It's just who we are. Brothers, have you ever said, "This is who I am"? Sisters, have you ever said to somebody, "Oh, that is so you"? So you. What does that mean? So you. That color is so you. What does that mean? That means that color or that dress, those shoes, matches your personality. So our soul is who we are. It's our personality before regeneration. I'd like to read two verses that are almost identical. These two verses, when you put them together, shows us the soul is the self. Okay, so listen carefully. I'll read the two verses, and you tell me the difference. So Matthew 16:26 says, "For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul life?" Now I'm going to read Luke 9:25. "For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world, but loses or forfeits himself?" Do you hear the difference? They're almost identical, but the Lord here uses the word soul life and himself interchangeably. This shows us that before regeneration, the soul is the self. And so we live by the soul. It's who we are. It's our personality. We're all familiar with the soul. right? It's just who we are. But we're not so familiar with the Spirit. Why is that? It's because well, first of all, where is the Spirit? We know where the soul is. Soul is just our soul. It's who we are. But where is the Spirit? It's in our soul. So let's all turn to Hebrews 4:12. And once you have it, let's read it together. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and operative, sharper than any two-edged sword,
and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and of discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Okay, first of all, we're going to dwell on this verse for a little bit, so keep your place there. We'll refer to this verse. First of all, it says this, it likens the soul and the spirit to joints and marrow. So if you ever, I don't know if you've ever looked at bones, like a chicken bone after you've eaten like a chicken leg, you take the bone. If you look at the bone, you cannot see the marrow. The marrow is completely encased and hidden in the bone. For you to see the marrow, you have to break the bone. Then it's hidden inside. The marrow is hidden inside. The Bible, in Hebrews 4:12, shows us that the soul is like the bone. The spirit is hidden inside the soul. For the soul to come out, or to know the soul, you have to break. I'm sorry, to know the spirit, you have to break the soul. Just like to know the marrow, to see the marrow, you have to break the bone. So what does it mean to break the soul? What does it mean to, how do you get to the Spirit? To get to the Spirit, you need something very sharp. Just like, if you take the example again of the bone, to get to the marrow, you need a sharp butcher knife and just whack. And it cleanly cuts the bone to get to the marrow. How do you get to the Spirit? You also need something very sharp. What is sharp enough to get to the, to cut through the soul to get to the Spirit? The Word of God. We need the Word of God. You yourself cannot discern your spirit from the soul. You need something sharper than any two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is able to discern your soul from your spirit. Okay? The Word of God has to be living and operative for it to work. Living and operative. What does that mean? That means we need God's speaking. God's speaking. This is why this week we've been emphasizing so much the Word of God. In all our time, I mean, we're encouraging all to memorize verses, to read the Word, to get into the Word. Why? Because we need the Word of God. God speaks through the Word. I think some of us here have had the Lord spoken to us, have had the Lord's Word. But some of us may not have experienced the Lord speaking to us yet. And the reason why is because we're not in the Word enough. Brothers and sisters, if you have not had the Lord speak to you, it's because you have not got into the Word enough. If you're into the Word, let me say this: if you're never in the Word, if you haven't memorized the Word, and you never read the Word, how can the Lord speak to you? Because mainly He speaks through the Word. How can the Lord speak to you? Through a miracle? Through your outward circumstances? That's very rare. And it's not very often. Very extreme, I would say. But if you're in the Word every day, if you're memorizing the Word, the more you're in the Word, the more the Lord has an opportunity to speak to you. So this is why we're encouraging you all to get into the Word as much as possible, especially in these college years when your mind is so sharp and so fresh. It just gets harder later on. The more you're in the Word, the more the Lord can speak to you. When the Lord speaks to you, then the Word becomes living and operative. The verses you're memorizing may not be living to you now, but one day the Lord may recall that verse, and that speaking to you will be living and operative. And then that word will be dividing, will help you divide between your soul and your spirit. Okay, also, so we need the Word of God, and the Word, or God speaking, is living and operative, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So how does the word divide? How does the word discern? Well, it discerns your soul from your spirit specifically by exposing and by making known to you your inner situation. And by knowing your thoughts of your mind, the intentions from your will, and then the desires from your emotions. It's interesting. This verse, to understand the context of this verse, you actually have to start from chapter 3. In chapter 3, Paul, the Apostle Paul, refers all the way back to Exodus, where the children of Israel had been wandering through through the wilderness, and they've come right up to Canaan. Canaan is the land that they are to inherit. And the Lord had spoken to them earlier that He would give them that land. That was the Lord's word to them. And so they had the Lord's word, and they had the Lord's promise that that land would be theirs. When they got to the land, they looked at the land, and they saw giants, people much bigger, much stronger than they. And so the majority of them started to consider, started analyzing in their mind, they're bigger than us, they're stronger than us, this doesn't look so good, the odds are against us. As they began to analyze and consider, they began to forget God's word and go back, wanting to go back to Egypt. There were only two people of that whole group that had a different spirit. They didn't analyze or consider the outward situation. They stood on what the Lord spoke. They said, they realized God had spoken and promised the land. And so these two were Joshua and Caleb. And if you read in, where is it? Is it Numbers? I've written it somewhere. Anyways, if you read in Numbers, you realize that Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. So Paul brings up this, this story and compares the Hebrew believers to them, to the staggering children of Israel. And he's saying to the Hebrew believers, you know, they came right up to the good land, but they got into their mind. They were in their soul. And they began to analyze and consider in their mind. And they never entered into the good land, except for the two who exercised their spirit. You Hebrew believers, this is Paul, I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying, you Hebrew believers are in the same situation. Same situation. You're considering Judaism, and you're about to enter into, you're about to enjoy the Lord, but you're there considering, should we stay in Judaism or should we enjoy the Lord? You're just like those who are in the children of Israel. And so Paul spoke again the word of God to expose their thoughts and their intentions, to show them that you are in your soul. The word, if the word becomes living and operative to you, it will expose the intentions of your heart, the intentions from your will. It'll expose the thoughts from your mind, and it'll expose the emotions, the desires from your emotions. Excuse me. I'd like to give you another example. This is my own testimony. About 12 years ago, I was facing the biggest decision of my life. What do you think that would be? Oh, you guys are quick. I thought maybe you would think my major or what school to get into or career path. No, you're right. The biggest decision I think we all agree, the biggest decision is marriage. Who are you going to spend the rest of your life with? This is a big decision. And so I didn't want to make a mistake, right? When I was considering all the other decisions, like what school to go to, where to go afterwards, I had done a lot of research and I had done a lot of consideration. But when it comes to the biggest question, the biggest decision of your life, there needs to be a lot. Well, for me, I really had to consider this because I realized this will affect the rest of my life. So I didn't just blindly jump into it. I had to consider for a long time, thinking and considering, analyzing. Then I was reading. So I had a sister in mind, and you know, the emotions were there, and then the mind was engaged, analyzing, and so thinking, you know. Anyways, I was in my mind, in my soul, and I was reading Matthew 6. And I'll just read it to you. Chapter 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I've always known this verse, seek first His kingdom. You know, it's a song. And so I've known this verse from a child. But this time, it became Rhema. It spoke to me. And the Lord spoke to me through these verses. The word became living and operative. And it was like the Lord was saying, Glenn, you are anxious about your marriage. And that's what Gentiles do, because they don't have a heavenly Father. But you're not like the Gentiles. You have a heavenly Father who knows what you need. So you don't need to seek and be anxious and to consider and to analyze your marriage. You need to seek first my kingdom. If you do that, I'll add to you. I'll give to you what you need. This verse was Rhema, and it exposed all my thoughts and exposed all my intentions and exposed all my emotions. After I read that verse, I said, Amen. Lord, I will seek your word, seek your kingdom first. And I had peace in my whole being for an hour. And then the anxiety came back again. And the thought, what about that sister, Lord? But this time I had the word. And so I gave it back to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to consider. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to be swallowed up in my emotions. I give it to you. I need to seek first your kingdom. I believe you will take care of my marriage. And so I did this many times throughout the day. And I did this for many days. And I did this for almost a year. Praying and just praying the same prayer, giving it to the Lord, letting the word discern my spirit from my soul. I did this for at least 6 months before I even asked her, before she even knew that I was interested in her. Just letting the word discern my thoughts, I didn't let my emotions get the better of me, get a hold of me, and get swept away by my emotions. It was such a good time. I really enjoyed that time, 6 months. You may say, man, you waited 6 months before you even let her know? Yeah, I did, but those were wonderful 6 months of knowing my bridegroom. Realize that we're already betrothed to someone else. We're betrothed to the Lord, and we need to know the Lord. How do you know the Lord? By your spirit and through the Word of God. So, So this is why. So I brought up this story to show you that the Word of God. We need the Word. First of all, we need to know the Word. Then we need to pray over the Word. When you pray over the Word, it causes the Word to be living. When the Word becomes living, then it exposes the thoughts that you might have, brothers. Most exposes the desires that you might have, sisters, in your emotion. And it exposes the intentions of your will. Even before standing up here, I had to let the Word expose all my intentions, my thoughts, and my emotions to purify my whole being. We need to do this not just for the biggest decision of our life. We need to do this for all the decisions in our life. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Oh, wow. So a soulish person is a person who acts by his soul, does everything by his soul. He may analyze things with his mind. He might go with the feeling in his emotion. This is a soulish man because the Lord is nothing. The Lord is not in the consideration. A spiritual man will use his spirit to engage his decisions. When they face a decision or they face something, instead of using the mind first, instead of using the emotions first, they use their spirit first. They pray and they touch the Lord and let the Lord, they use their spirit to engage. This is a spiritual man. Now our brother Phil will share some more detail.
Can we read Roman numeral 4? Okay, let's read it again, and I'll tell you when to stop. Ready? Go.
We can differentiate the spirit from the soul.
I didn't say stop. Stop. By learning. Let's say that. By learning. Okay, again.
By learning.
Again.
By learning.
With your spirit.
By learning.
With your spirit.
By learning.
Okay. We need to learn these things. We shouldn't take it for granted. I'm still learning. We're all still learning. Okay? We're learning our spirit. We've heard about our spirit, but we have to ask ourselves, how much experience do we have? Remember the word yesterday morning about a good conscience? How much experience do we have? Not how many times have we heard about it. How much have we learned before the Lord, right? It'd be good to ask the Lord, how much have I learned about these things? How much is real to me? It's not real just because you understand it with your mind and you could even explain it to something. It doesn't become real until some light shines on the Word and you pass through the experience. So, this message is not about how to know who you're supposed to marry. Right? What's it about? What's the first word in the title?
Discerning.
Okay, a discerning person knows who they should marry, where they should live. In Hebrews, a discerning person can tell what's precious from what's worthless. And the way that they can tell is because they practice. They have their discerning faculty exercised. Okay? So The reason Glenn used that example is because it's an example of a soulish brother analyzing, learning to become a spiritual person, discerning. What is my consideration and what is actually my spirit? Okay? So that's in the first part. Now the second part here in Roman numeral 4 is learning to deny the soul and the self. You've probably heard something about this before, right? But we want to differentiate the spirit by a couple things. By the living and abiding Word of God.
Amen.
We need the Word of God every day. That's the first thing you need, right? Glenn gave a great example. The Gentiles are anxious for these things. God spoke directly to Glenn. Not only did that help him discern his soul from his spirit, but it washed him in the water and the Word. It washed away his spots and wrinkles. It made him more attractive to the Lord, and it taught him what was worthless and what was precious. What was precious was the kingdom of God. See, your spirit knows what's precious before God. But your mind, the concept in your mind is fallen. See, with the body in the fall, the problem became sin. There's sin in the flesh. But the problem in the soul is the thought and the opinion of Satan, which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there could be many good concepts, many good thoughts, and they're just worthless because they're as bad as sin in the flesh. They're even worse because they're personified. You know, they're the person of a fallen man. So what we want to understand from the last part of this outline is that before we were regenerated, our soul was our person. It was where our personality is. Okay, if you look at a couple verses, you can just jot them down, but you don't have to look at them. If you look at Exodus 1:5 and Acts 2:41, you can see that man is considered a soul. When God made man, He made him a soul. And man's personality was in his soul, and there was no life in his spirit. Okay? So man is called a soul. That's his person. But the Lord did this amazing thing when He died on the cross. He took that old creation and crucified it. And when you believed into Christ and received Him as your life, He came into your spirit as life.
Amen.
And your spirit was and still is a God contacting, receiving, and assimilating organ. But not only that, what we want to see today is that it's our person.
Amen.
Our spirit is our person now.
Yes.
This will save you so much trouble in the church life. I want to tell you how it has helped me, okay? I didn't know this. I did not know this. It was a discovery to me. But, you know, the Lord made us with all kinds of different souls because He wants to display His multifaceted, multifarious wisdom by bringing us all kinds of different individuals as into a corporate, glorious entity, right? We don't lose our uniqueness, but we manifest God's glory, okay? But the kind of old man in my soul is very peculiar. I had this consideration in my college years because I was going to take a trip to Hawaii during my winter break. And if you're in Seattle, that's exactly what you want to do because you haven't seen the sun in a long time. And I was talking to a classmate, a girl that I knew, and I told her. She said, "Wow, you must be excited." And I said, "No, not really." And she said, she had kind of gotten to know me, and she said, "You don't really get excited, do you?" And I thought about it, and I said, "No." And I thought about it all day and the next day, because if you're like me, that's what you do. You just think about things. You just think. You live your life in your head. And I started to think, you know what? I never get excited. And I don't understand the brothers and sisters who get excited. It's like they go to a retreat, and they're screaming their heads off. And then they go home, and in 2 weeks, they're down. But I'm just like this. Nothing makes me really happy, and nothing makes me really sad. And I thought, there's got to be something wrong with me. Okay? There was something wrong with me. Okay? You need to discern that our soul is our outer man. It belongs to the outer man. It's the container of our spirit. It surrounds our spirit. That's why 2 Timothy 4:22. Oh, sorry, wrong verse. That's why 1 Peter 3:4 calls it the hidden man of our heart. It's in our heart, which is our soul. But it's hidden. That's why the Word needs to come in real sharply and distinguish what's hidden. What's hidden inside of you. And let me tell you, what's hidden inside of you is very excellent. Because it is your inner man. This is why the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16 for the saints. That the Father would strengthen into the inner man. When you get into the inner man, the things of God become real. You can understand the hope of your calling. You don't look at this age and this world. You see it for what it really is when you get into the inner man. Okay? And the soul is the outer man. And the thing about the outer man is he got crucified with Christ. We sing that a lot, right? But this is the life that Paul lived. He's a very good example. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. What was he talking about? He was talking about his old man. His old, zealous, religious, pharisaical man got put on the cross. And he learned to live by an all-fitting life in his spirit. And he said, the life which I now live, the second I, is the inner man. It's a mingled living with Christ as the person. Oh, when I figured this out, it became such a help to me. Because it's not easy to be with a lot of people if you have the kind of soul that I have. But if you're in the church life, you're always with a lot of people. I mean, I'm in a round tent with 10 brothers. How could I do that? There needs to be some discerning, right? And differentiating. We need to differentiate in Roman number 4 by learning. So what does it mean to deny the soul, okay? It doesn't mean that you deny the function of your soul. You still love, you still think, but you no longer take your natural disposition as the source, which we must admit we do all the time. The fact is, most of the time we are living a lie. And before the Lord, I found out that this is my most common and probably most serious sin, is that I just live a lie. This is why Paul in Romans 6, he said, are you ignorant? Saints, are you ignorant? If you've been baptized into Christ, you've been baptized into His death. And in verse 4, buried with Him. Amen. Don't live that person anymore. Don't live that person anymore. You don't have to. This becomes a great release to us. Oh, saints, I was able to get excited. I was able to experience joy. I could even weep because I found my inner man. I had the Word in a living way. I had the interpreted Word from the ministry. Oh, take the brother's Word from yesterday. Read the Word and the ministry. You know, I read this portion of ministry. Brother Lee said, this is a quote. He said, dear soul, you are not my person anymore. Don't suggest anything to me. Don't propose anything to me. Stay in your place. You are my organ to be used, and my spirit is my person. Oh, I read that and I thought, that's the answer to my problems. The reason I can't be in the church life and I don't fit in is because that's not who I am anymore. As soon as I said that, what release? What release? I love the saints. A brother, it just saved me so much suffering. Just languishing in the soul like the Hebrews, not going into the good land. That's how Glenn and I can serve together. By the inner man. We've been serving together for 6 years. We can tell. Sometimes I'm talking. It's like having a mirror there when you coordinate with the saints. Glenn gets real quiet. I'm talking, and I realize, you need to shut up. That's not who you are anymore. Okay, so A says, the soul is the self, and the self is the very center of the human being. Hence, the self must be crossed out, right? So the self here is the outer man. What does it mean for the self to be crossed out? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need the revelation that our old man has been crucified on the cross. You know, we've been grafted into Christ. His history is our history. What he experienced, we experienced. When he was on the cross, we were on the cross. When you graft a branch into a tree stock, all the previous years of growth become the history of that branch. We were all grafted organically into Christ. He was cut on the cross. We were cut and we were put in. His death is our history for our experience. We need to see that. Don't think just because you understand it, it's real to you. We need to ask the Lord, make that real to me. Make the experience of your death my experience in my daily life. Because in Luke 9:23 through 25, the Lord said, you need to take up your cross daily if you want to follow me. And this corresponds to Paul's word. He says, day by day, right, our outer man is decaying. If we want to go on in the Christian life, we need the practices that we heard yesterday. We need to practice taking care of our inward parts. If we do that, our spirit will become strong and we'll be able to put our soul in its place. Many times, it starts with the mind. The mind initiates because it's the leading part of the soul. A lot of times you're thinking a certain kind of way. Maybe your mind is just wandering. And you just need to stop that. You need to say, don't think that way. Especially when we're with the saints. A lot of times our thought about the saints is so natural. We see someone and we think or we despise. Paul says we think more highly than we ought to think. What we need to do is realize, my mind with that thought was crucified on the cross. Amen. And from our spirit we need to say, I will not entertain that thought any longer. Amen. Stand with your spirit. Amen. The saints are the excellent ones. Okay? This is what we need to learn to do. The more we learn it, the more we'll become accustomed to it. And this makes a very sweet church life. Because you have the sweetness of Christ's death filling all the meetings. The saints come together. They're not trying to be individuals. They can actually be blended. The next message we have after this is a blended nucleus of students taking the lead on the campuses. Let me tell you, there is no possibility for blending if you do not discern your soul from your spirit. Your outer man, your old man who's been crucified, cannot be blended into the body of Christ. It can't be blended with the saints who you're with, and it cannot be built up. It cannot. There's no possibility. You must get your outer man on the cross and get your inner man out. So for a lot of the young people, that means you need to lose your face. Your face defeats you again and again and again, especially if you're a quiet person or a cool brother. It just defeats you. It shuts you in. It dominates you. Your spirit is like a little weakling. And this face, it's just a mask. Don't you know your spirit is your most genuine part? And to be genuine means you're the same on the outside as you are on the inside. Okay? This is a lesson I had to learn. Once I was with a group of saints. They were my nucleus, my coordinating team, and a brother had just asked, hey, would anybody like to practice the release of the Spirit? And this little sister from Taiwan, she just said, okay, which was a surprise because I didn't think anybody was going to say it because we're all sitting in a circle and who wants to do that, right? Right? There's 20 of you and you don't know each other that well. Who wants to stand up and put themselves out there like that. But anyhow, I found out later that this sister, she suffered, you know, she suffered in a kind of way. She had migraine headaches. She was tired a lot. Having to speak English all the time was a big suffering for her. But I never could tell those things. She always struck me as somebody who was just diligent. She was, you could count on her. She was always there. She rarely expressed her opinion. I thought really highly of her. I found out later she had these hardships. But when she was releasing her spirit, this is before I had much experience of my own inner man. I said, she was praying. She was releasing something. Boy, I was subdued. I said, oh my goodness. This is a little Chinese sister. But spiritually, wow, she's so much stronger than I am. That day I remember, and tears started to come from her eyes, but what was coming out of her was reality. It was the reality that's in Jesus. It was a human life characterized by denying the self and living according to the Spirit. Jesus did this all the time. This is a spiritual person. It's one who distinguishes and separates the soul from the spirit. You can see examples of this in the Bible. Like, for example, Jacob, when he found out that Joseph was alive. He had a long period of wondering about Joseph because he never saw Joseph's body. He just saw a coat stained with blood. But when he found out he's alive, he just said, let's go see him. He was becoming a spiritual person. This helps us so much. Anyway, we'll go on. What happens is, let's read B. Since our spirit, where Christ is filled within our soul must be broken before our spirit can be revealed. Okay, remember, it's the hidden man. So our soul must be broken. So after I witnessed this sister releasing her spirit, that encouraged me. I want to know that flow. I want to know what's coming out of that sister, which was not an easy thing to do because I'm an introverted person. I'm a quiet person. I don't like to extrovert. I don't like loud noises. I don't like people who talk a lot. That guy's on the cross. But I had a place where I could practice, okay? I had a meeting not unlike this of people my age in the hundreds every Monday night. And after a long period of silence, I decided, you know what? The only people who want to keep me from releasing my spirit is Satan and the old man, because he doesn't want to experience the death of the cross. And mainly, because I'm a young person, it's my face. And then I thought, the living and the abiding word of God, divide. There was some dividing. The word came to me. Your old man's been crucified. Even Satan, he's been dealt with. He has no right. He has no authority over you. There's some wonderful verses in the Bible, right? Your spirit has overcome the world. Everything begotten of God overcomes the world. It cannot sin. There had been an accumulation of the word. And so I just got out of my seat. And I'll tell you what, I probably shocked some people that night because I just let it rip. But this became my habit week after week. And you know what I did? The outer man decayed. In a sense, you could say, I put him in his place again and again. Time for you to get back on the cross. Every time we go out to preach the gospel, it's the same. Of course we don't want to go. You've got to put that on the cross. Here's another good opportunity for you to die, to get back where you belong. Right? We have a song. It says, the former owner died, but he haunts it still. He haunts me still. It will keep coming back in different forms, in different ways, in nice ways, in polite ways, in good opinion ways, in brilliant idea ways, in murmuring ways. Right? In indifference, all of these things. It's just our default. Every time we live according to our habit, we're living a lie. Right? That's why we wake up in the morning, we contact the Lord. Because we want to start the day right. I'm a new man, part of the new creation, with an inner man, right? Created according to the image of Him who created him. It's a wonderful, excellent person, and when it comes out, the saints love it. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. I found that out. I became a fool. I stood up, became a total fool, and when I opened my eyes, everybody was grinning. And usually when I talk, people frown. It was a big, big revelation for me. The genuineness came out. That's who I really am. That's who I am in Christ. Wow! I never knew this before. I've been a born-again believer from a child. I never knew this before. My inner man is my real person. I put all those problems on the cross. Again and again, experience after experience. And you know what? This is really what it means to enjoy Christ. It doesn't mean to be happy all the time in your soul. It means to differentiate your soul from your spirit. You can be going through something really hard. If your soul and spirit are divided, you're peaceful in Christ. You know, a person who enjoys Christ all the time is not just ecstatic. They're characterized by contentment. Godliness with contentment. There will be times of excitement, like when we have our evening meetings in the college training. But that's not what it means to enjoy Christ. That's just a narrow view of what it means to enjoy Christ. To enjoy Christ means to stand with our spirit event by event. Okay, so it says this: our soul must be broken. It starts with the revelation that our old man has been crucified on the cross. That's what the Bible says. It's a fact. The next thing you need to do is you need to recognize and accept it. And you need to say, okay, here I am in this situation. Praise the Lord that you crucified my old man on the cross. You dealt with the old creation. This will have an effect. And then you need to apply the death of Christ to yourself by the Spirit. Since we have seen the fact, we've recognized it, we've praised the Lord, then we just need to apply it. And apply it means, sometimes it means get out of your chair. Sometimes it means apologize. Sometimes it means turn the computer off. If we would practice taking care of our inward parts, we would have the strength to do this. You say, I can't do that, I don't have the strength. It's because we don't practice to take care of our inward parts. We don't have morning revival, we don't read the Word, we don't get into the ministry, but when you do these things, you'll find out there's the supply. I'm living according to the inner man, and that is the manifestation of God on the earth. That's God's economy, right? That's God's image and dominion where you are. Okay? So C says, to deny our soul life means that we turn from ourselves to the Spirit. Then in the Spirit we will meet Christ. This is the best part about it. It's not that you get to be victorious. That's really great. Best part is you meet Christ. You know, Christ and His death can't be separated. He's always in His sweet death for your enjoyment, all the time. He's flowing with myrrh. Okay? So Roman numeral 5. We need to discern the spirit from the soul to abide in the Lord. Okay? So Roman numeral 4 is that we need to learn to deny the soul life so that we can differentiate. But we have a goal, which is that we abide in the Lord. Okay? A says, the Lord Himself is in our spirit. Thus, in order to abide in Christ, we must discern our spirit. 2 Timothy 4:22 says, the Lord be with your spirit. Okay? If you want to abide in a house, you have to know its address. If you want to abide in the Lord, you need to know where He is. He's in your spirit. But this goes back to what I first said. We haven't had that much experience discerning our soul from our spirit. The corollary, we haven't abided much in the Lord. Abode? I don't know. Okay, B. We must learn to discern our spirit, deny our soul all the time, and turn continually into our spirit. We must forget about our surroundings and abide in Him and let Him abide in us. The problem with us is we have too much religious teaching. We have too much ethics. Forget about it. Forget about it. Stop trying to be a good Christian. The Lord didn't say be a good Christian. He said, abide in me. Abide in me. How do you abide in the Lord? It starts with enjoying the Lord. It's how you get in. You enjoy the Lord in the Spirit. If you don't know how to do that, just let's just be honest. How much have we enjoyed the Lord in the midst of varied situations? To enjoy the Lord is in all things. It doesn't mean you'll be ecstatic. You could have a broken heart. Can you enjoy the Lord with a broken heart? Absolutely. If you divide your soul from spirit. You can enjoy the Lord in mundane, boring things. Not just in meetings. So, if you don't know how to enjoy the Lord in any given situation, just be humble. Find somebody who seems to be a person who knows how to enjoy the Lord and simply ask, can you help me enjoy the Lord? Just do that. I've met with students many times and in retrospect realized I taught them many things, but not how to enjoy the Lord. It was too bad. I missed the opportunity sometimes. Okay, but what happens when you enjoy the Lord is you abide in Him. You get into Him. And then according to 1 John 2:27, you start to learn something based on the anointing, which is that it teaches you to abide. You start enjoying the Lord, the anointing will teach you what you need to do to stay abiding. You'll be enjoying, you'll be abiding, and then you'll say something and it'll say, you got out. Now, to get back in, you need to ask for forgiveness. So, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I enjoy you again. I turn again. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be ethical. He doesn't want us to be moral. He wants us to abide in Him. Okay, so He says, always practice to fellowship with Him. Look to Him. Behold Him. Reflect Him. Day by day, denying the soul and exercising the Spirit. Okay, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Okay? These things are worthy of our prayer. You know, just our humble bringing them back to the Lord. I want to have some experience of this. I want to know who I am according to Christ in my inner man. Lord, I want to know the new creation. Really, it's really the case that this is necessary if we want to have God's eternal building among the saints who are with, in the church, in the brothers and sisters' house, on the campus. If you want to be blended and built, you must get your inner man out. That's what it means to be blended. Blending is not coming together for a conference and saying, oh, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you forever. Blah, 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 blah. That is not blending. Blending is when the life in you gets out. Amen. And the life in me gets out. And we touch according to the Spirit. Amen. So every time we come together with the saints, this is what we should do. Amen. We should say, the guy who doesn't want to pray, he's on the cross. Amen. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. You could say, but I'm so shy, I'm so quiet. That guy's on the cross too. Amen. You could say, I'm so opinionated, I'm always running my mouth. Some of us are like that. That guy's on the cross. I'm going to get my spirit out. Amen. I'm a new creation. Amen. My spirit is excellent. Amen. The saints love my spirit. Amen. But I'm the youngest in the room. Nobody cares what I have to say. Your spirit is excellent. Amen. But I haven't prayed in 6 months. I've come to the meeting and not prayed, and everybody knows about it because I've been doing it for a long time. Put that guy on the cross. Yeah. Sometimes you need to say, help me to enjoy the Lord. You know what I really need? I need help to enjoy the Lord. We just need to stand with each other, okay? We're all a new creation. We all have an inner man. But mostly we live in our habit. But we need to tell the Lord, we're willing to learn. Give me the experiences I need. Teach me to abide in you. Teach me to discern my spirit from my soul. Because your spirit is your real person. Praise the Lord.